Good morning. If you were here last week, we looked at the book of Job and we summarized the first 37 verses, or chapters, not verses, chapters, into like two paragraphs. So a horrible job of summarizing a lot of stuff that took place. And I encourage you to go home and read through the book of Job. And then we got into, I think it was chapter 38, we see in this significant part near the end of the book of Job that God speaks to Job. And that was the whole point of last week, right? Was seeing that God is speaking to somebody that's crying out to him, right? Because Job had gone through a whole bunch of tough stuff and he's crying out to God, he's lamenting, he's having horrible, horrible days. And then God speaks to him out of a storm, it says. And what we discover is that when God speaks to him, he doesn't address any of Job's questions or concerns. He talks to him about how he created the world and the seas and he created everything. But yet, if you fast forward about five chapters or so towards the very end of Job, I think it's chapter 42, we see that Job is a different person. He's now at peace because of the presence of God. Because he recognized God's presence through this communication, through this God speaking to him kind of moment. So that kind of is what we talked about last week. And the idea is that if God spoke in the Old Testament to Job, we see Jesus speaking to people all through the New Testament. We see the Holy Spirit speaking to people, and nothing has changed today. The Holy Spirit and God still speak to us today. So the question then comes is, how do we recognize when God is speaking to us? How do we distinguish God's voice from perhaps other voices or other sensories that are coming into our lives and know that it's actually God that's speaking to us? So that's really what we're going to focus on today, is recognizing, distinguishing the voice of God. Our focus verse this morning is going to come from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27, where it says this, and we're going to see this verse a few different times. It's a single verse. My hope is that maybe some of you that are quick at memorization, like you'll have it memorized by the time we're done reading it through it and talking through it today. It says, these are the words of Jesus. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Pretty short, sweet, and to the point. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This is a powerful verse. It's more than just words on the page. It's a promise from Jesus, an assurance from Jesus, and an invitation, all kind of rolled into one. It speaks to us from about an intimate relationship that we're called to have with our shepherd. So as we talk this morning, I hope that there's a few questions that we can kind of wrestle with as we're looking at Scripture. The first question I hope that we can wrestle with is this: are we truly listening for the voice of God? Am I truly listening for God's voice in my life? Like that's the first and probably biggest question that we got to answer today, is do I want to hear God's voice in my life? Are we making room? If the answer happens to be yes for that, are we making room for his voice amidst all the other demands and distractions in our lives? And then, are we ready to follow where he leads, even if it's into the unknown? Because when we listen to God's voice, oftentimes he is going to lead us to places. He's going to enter us into new adventures and journeys in life that we can't even think of or fathom right now. And if he is willing to speak to us and we are listening, are we willing to follow where he leads? Those are kind of the questions I want you to be thinking of as we're working through some passages this morning. So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 27. If you're using your own Bibles, you're on your own. If you're using one of the church Bibles, page 760 will get you on the right page. John chapter 10, verse 27. And I want us to read this verse together twice. It reads like this. Jesus' words, right? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Join me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Heavenly Father, we come to you. As we open your word, as we study your word today, we ask that you would open our ears to hear your voice, that you would open our hearts to receive your truth, that you would open our minds to understand your ways. Let us not leave here the same people. Let us be touched by your word this morning. Pray this in your name. Amen. So as we study this morning, let's really try to keep our hearts open and receptive. Let's be ready to hear from the Lord, and let's lean in and listen, and let's learn together, because, and this is big, when God speaks, lives are transformed. When God speaks, the impossible becomes possible. When God speaks, we are called to listen and to follow him. So the first thing that we're going to look at this morning is recognizing and distinguishing God's voice. Number one, recognizing and distinguishing God's voice. When we think about our relationship with God, it's not important, or pardon me, it is important to remember that this relationship that we have with God, it's a two-way street. It's not just us talking to God, but it's also us listening to him. And that can be hard for us to remember on a normal basis if we're not intentional about it. It's real easy just to unload on God, just to take our requests to God, our desires to God, our concerns, or the things that we're happy and excited about to him, and just leave them at him, or throw them at him, and then walk away and not really listen. The verse we're focusing on today, John 10, 27, emphasizes the point of listening. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. This tells us that as followers of Jesus, we're expected to listen to his voice. So how do we do that? How do we recognize God's voice that's happening all around us? I asked that question. I shared last Sunday with those of you that were here that I would love to hear some stories as to how you have heard God speak to you over the course of your lives. And then I put out on Facebook and asked kind of a similar kind of thing, if you have a story of how you've heard God speak, to share that with me. And I've taken the responses that I've gotten and tried to summarize them down into just like a few words for this morning. But then I would encourage you to just check on Facebook. And I don't know how all this social media stuff works, but I think if you check on Facebook, if I post on Facebook, it'll end up on Instagram too. Kim sets that stuff up, not me. So I think if you check on Facebook or Instagram, we're going to share some of the actual like full stories that people shared with us, just removing their names and that kind of stuff. So if you want to see more in-depth details, they're really encouraging stories of how people have heard God speak to them over the course of their lives. So we're going to share those this whole next week. Just throughout the course of the week, we'll randomly post some of those up there. But here's what people said. For some people, they heard God through quiet times just in being in his creation, in nature. Through experiencing unusual experiences. So you see something take place that just shouldn't happen, was this person's way of experiencing God speak to them. For another person, it was images that were placed in their mind, or a vision that was placed in their mind that was super vivid and very specific to something they had been praying about. For somebody else, it was driving down the road in a really rough time of life, and a song came on the radio at just the exact right moment and the right words. For somebody else, an inner voice accompanied with a sense of peace in a situation that would normally offer this individual no peace at all. Through God's people, I heard this through multiple stories, both through word and deeds that were accompanied by God's people. Or somebody was privately praying about something and God gave them a very specific specific word that was shared to them by somebody that had no clue what they were praying about. But the person came to him and said, hey, for whatever reason, God has laid this on my heart. Through circumstances, right? God creates specific circumstances that meet very specific needs that have been prayed about. And for one, it was through a sign that this individual says, like, this just should not have happened in the place and location where I was at. I was praying, I was asking God for a sign, and God brought something there, an eagle in this case, that shouldn't have been there. And it was this sign from God. And in this particular situation, the story was kind of like the Job story, right? She said that the sign was brought there and brought her incredible peace and comfort because she knew that God was with her in that moment, but God didn't answer any of the things that she was praying about. So those are some of the ways that you guys shared. And I just want us to be aware that, like, God speaks in so many different ways. And this is just a handful of ways. It's a few ways. And we're going to touch base on some of those this morning, kind of expand on some of those thoughts just a little bit this morning. In order to recognize God's voice and distinguish it from others, I think we start out by considering the unique nature of his voice as it's revealed through Scripture. I think that this is the spot where we have to start at. The Bible. This is God's written word. It's primary means through which God communicates with us. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 with me, page 847. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Speaking of God's word, speaking of the Bible, starting in verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, of discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." When we take time to immerse ourselves in God's word, in Scripture, we begin to recognize the tone, the tenor, the truth of God's voice. We see his heart for justice and his heart for mercy. We see his love for the lost. We see his passion for purity. We see his call for compassion. We learn to distinguish his voice from the noises of the world that far too often are what grab our attention. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 105. Your light is a lamp for my feet. Pardon me, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. God's word, Scripture, a lamp for for our feet. God's word illuminates our way. It guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's word serves as our guide in life and illuminates the way that we should be going in our lives, with our lives. But it's not all just about reading scripture. It's about meditating on it. It's about pondering it. It's about studying it and trying to better understand it. It's about letting it sink into our hearts and our minds. As Paul wrote in Colossians 3:16, it's about letting the word of God dwell in us richly. And as we do that, we become more attuned to God's voice, more discerning of his guidance, more responsive to his leading. In a few minutes, I'm going to tell you why I think that this is one of the most important ways or one of the most important things that we have to have a part of our life in order to hear truly God's voice and distinguish it. But before we do that, I want us to jump into just another, I think, vital avenue through which God speaks to us often, and that is prayer. Prayer is not just about us talking to God, right? It's also about us listening to God. It's about us creating quietness in our hearts. It's about us stilling our minds and turning and tuning into his voice. It's about aligning our will with his, not trying to bend his will to become ours. In the stillness of prayer, we can hear the whisper of God's voice. Remember last week we read about Elijah and how he heard God's voice? Remember there was an earthquake that took place, right? And he didn't hear God's voice in the earthquake. And then there was these incredibly high winds, and he didn't hear God's voice in the winds. And then there was this fire, and he didn't hear God's voice in the fire. But in the gentle whisper is where he heard God's voice. I think we do good for ourselves when we can intentionally create an environment of some stillness in our lives, to be able to hear God's gentle whispers. We got to remember, as I said earlier, that prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue, it's a two-way thing of communication. It's a divine conversation that takes place. And in that conversation, God speaks. He speaks words of comfort to us. He speaks words of correction to us, words of direction, words of affirmation. He speaks to our deepest needs and our deepest fears and our deepest longings. So yeah, certainly God speaks through his word. He speaks through times of intentional prayer with him. I think he also speaks, as we heard from so many people, through other people. He uses the counsel of godly friends, the preaching of his word, the teaching of spiritual leaders, and the encouragement of fellow believers to speak to us. He uses the words of others to affirm us, the direction that we're going. He uses the words of others to challenge us. He uses the words of others to inspire us, to correct us. I think that's why being part of a community is so important in our Christian walk. Because so often God uses our brothers and sisters in Christ to speak into our lives. We see this in the life of the early church. If you were here in the springtime, we did a study through the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says the early church believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They learned from them. They were guided by them. They were encouraged by them. God spoke to them through the apostles. Now here, I think, is a word of caution, and this really goes for any way you think you're hearing God speak to you. As believers, we need to be discerning when we sense God is speaking to us. Not every voice that speaks into our lives is from God. We need to test everything against the standard of God's word. And that's why I said I think the first one is so important, right? Being in God's word, getting to know him and understand him. We hear from him through that as well. But we need to test everything against the standard of God's word. If what you think you are hearing from God in a time of prayer, or if what you think you're hearing from God from the counsel of a friend, or any other way that you might be hearing from God, if it goes in any way against God's word, what you are hearing is not the voice of God. Because God's word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So that's the filter that we got to run anytime we think we're hearing God's voice and him speaking into our lives. That's the filter we got to run it through. And I think God also works another way that we heard from people in the congregation is through circumstances. He opens doors and closes doors. He leads us in paths that we didn't plan on going down. He orchestrates events in ways that we could not have imagined. He uses circumstances to guide us, to shape us, to draw us closer to him. Like think about the life of Joseph, right? Go back to the Old Testament and you think about Joseph's life. I think it's a great example of this. Because Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And then he's falsely accused, he's imprisoned, and pretty much just forgotten about. Joseph certainly could have questioned where God was in all these circumstances and all these things that he was going through. But in retrospect, he could see that God was with him every step of the way, guiding him, protecting him, using him for his purposes. And he could say to his brothers, in Genesis 50:20, it says it just like this. He could say to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Recognizing God's voice is not always easy. I think it requires a lot of patience, a lot of attentiveness, a lot of intentionality, a willingness to really listen. It requires us to be still, to be quiet, to quiet our minds, to get rid of all the extra visual noise in our lives for periods of time, and to open our hearts. It requires us to seek God's will, not just our own will. When we do these things, when we truly listen to God's voice, we find guidance. We find wisdom, we find peace. And sometimes it's not the guidance or wisdom or peace that we're asking for, like Job's story, right? I remember there's a time in my life where I was doing ministry and another opportunity in ministry came up, and I was really having a hard time discerning where God wanted me to be during that time. And Rachel and I, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and we, God, like, show us whether it should be A or B. And we kept praying and we prayed. And my recollection is we prayed for weeks about this and we talked about this. And eventually this is what God said to me. And it was so crystal clear.
do what you want to do.
Like, well, that's not helpful. But the sentence went on from there. Do what you want to do, but serve me in what you're doing. That's what God wanted to speak to me. I felt this overwhelming sense that it didn't matter whether I was serving in A or B. God just wanted me serving him. And that's how he spoke. So it's important for us to work hard at recognizing and distinguishing God's voice in our lives. But as followers of Christ, I think we also have to have this desire to deepen our understanding of God's voice, his communication with us. And that's the second thought or idea today, is how do we deepen our understanding of God's communication? As we think about recognizing his voice, I think we should find ourselves trying to figure out, like, if his voice is really the guide to our lives, we should try to find out how do we deepen our understanding of it, right? I think this is where we learn to truly hear the voice of God, to discern his whispers, and to understand his voice in the middle of the storms. I think this next sentence is like the key to this whole point. We need to deepen our understanding so that we can respond with a heart that is eager to obey when we hear God speak. We need to deepen our understanding so that we can respond with a heart that's eager to obey when we hear God speak. I hope, like, up to this point today that you've heard, that you've been hearing that the voice of God is not something that you just hear by accident. Like, it requires intentionality and attentiveness and a heart that is postured towards obedience. It's about turning our spiritual ears. It's about tuning them in to the frequency of heaven, right? About learning to recognize the tone and the pulse and the content of God's communication. We do that through Scripture. It's about understanding that God's voice is always consistent with his character and his word. So as we consider how we can deepen our understanding of God's voice, his communication with us, and the first aspect we need to consider is the role of the Holy Spirit in helping us to hear God's voice. The Holy Spirit is our divine helper. He's our counselor. He's our teacher. He's the one that to us will illuminate God's word for us, making it come alive in our hearts. He's the one who convicts us of sin when there's sin in our lives. He's the one who guides us into truth and who reminds us of everything that Jesus has said. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us discern the voice of God in the midst of all the other noise in the world. The Holy Spirit is the one who confirms in our hearts the truth of what we hear, giving us an inner assurance that we are indeed hearing from God. Oswald Chambers wrote this. He said, the voice of the Spirit of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, is as gentle as a summer breeze. So gentle that unless you are living in complete fellowship and oneness with God, you will never hear it. Man, these words, like, they underscore the importance of maintaining a close, intimate relationship with God. It's in the secret place of his presence. It's in the quiet moments of communion with him that we often learn to recognize his voice. So if we want to deepen it, we need to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit and his working in our lives. The second aspect we need to consider as the role of obedience in hearing God's voice. Obedience is the key to unlocking the hearing of God's voice in many ways. When we obey what God has already revealed to us, I believe he then oftentimes entrusts us with more. When we act on what we've heard, right? So we pray about something and we sense that God has led us and directed us and is speaking to us, and we act on that. God speaks again. It's like a divine cycle of communication that is fueled by obedience, right? The more we obey, the more we hear. The more we hear, the more we obey. Our obedience to God's voice is critical in us deepening that. We also need to consider the role of faith in hearing God's voice. Faith, that's the currency of the kingdom of God. It's what enables us to believe that we can hear from God, to trust that he is speaking, and to act on what we hear. It's all because of faith. Faith is what turns divine whispers into divine directives, what transforms our lives. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, it is impossible not to hear from God. And last one, I just want to touch on this morning about deepening the communication with God. His last aspect, I think there's a role that humility plays in hearing from God's voice. Humility is the posture of the heart that acknowledges our need for God, that recognizes our dependence on God, that submits to his lordship. Humility is what causes us to bow down on our knees, to open our ears, and to surrender our wills. It's what causes us to say, like, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. My hope, my prayer, that each one of us will take these truths to heart in our own lives, that we'll invite the Holy Spirit to help us hear God's voice, that we'll commit to obeying what God reveals to us, that we'll exercise faith in believing that God is speaking, and that we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, acknowledging our need for his guidance. Let's take action. When we hear his voice, let's respond to his voice. And in doing so, we will experience the joy of hearing God's voice more and more and more. As we leave and start a new week, let's remember that we serve a God who speaks. We serve a God that wants that deep, intimate relationship with us that communication is such a part of. We serve a God who knows us intimately, a God who leads us with unfailing love and with absolute, complete wisdom. His voice is not some distant echo. It shouldn't be. But it should be a very present whisper, guiding us, reassuring us, and calling us into a deeper relationship with him. So back to the questions I asked at the very beginning. Are you truly listening? Are you making room for his voice amidst the demands of your daily life? Are you ready to follow him where he leads, even if it's into the unknown? Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment to be able to be in your word, to study your word, to learn from your word. We thank you for the reminder that you are the shepherd and we are your sheep. Help us to listen for your voice in the busyness of our lives. Help us to make margin, to make room, to create quiet space for communion with you. Give us the courage, Lord God, to follow you even when the path is unfamiliar. We trust in your goodness and your love, knowing that you have only the best in store for us. Lord God, as we leave this place, may your Spirit continue to guide us and your peace continue to comfort us. May we be a reflection of your love in this world, and may our lives bring glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.